When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
He's homered. Derek Jeter homers to tie the game. And there it is. Hit number 3,000.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Let's get right back into it, folks. Thanks for holding. Let's turn the page. It is now Thursday, July 11th on The Fan in New York. Shout out to you and yours wherever you are, whether you're riding, whether you're home, listening on the Free Odyssey app and deciding to listen to me talk sports. I appreciate it. I'm letting you into my sports mind. I'm letting you into my notes and my thoughts about the New York Mets, the New York Yankees, I don't know, Team USA basketball, Hard Knocks, NFL, college football. Yeah, we'll do all of that in the next 2 hours. 888-808-1019 if you'd like to talk, if you'd like people to hear you, if you've got something to say and you want to join the show. Good, bad, indifferent, whatever it is, lay it on us and we'll have at it. So, I mean, I just heard in the update how Oh My God was blasting through the Mets clubhouse, and that's great. They have a theme song, they have a win song, they have a song that they play. You know, in my little bit of experience that I got to call the Yankees games and have access to the dugout, and I didn't step foot in the clubhouse. I was too scared, but I saw it with my own eyes, and I was right there. I was right outside the clubhouse. The first song that they play is Metro Boomin, Future, Kendrick Lamar, Like That. And it's just got a... It's just got a beat. It's got a beat that, like, I don't know, you turn up to. And I just saw my guy BK, Brendan Cuddy, put out a video on Twitter where he said, you know, the biggest takeaway from the Yankees' win tonight was how excited and happy the team was after the game. How you could hear yells, applause, guys whooping it up over a 2-1 win. Over a 2-1 win that some Yankee fans, salty Yankee fans, glass half empty Yankee fans are like, they could have blown that game. This offense still sucks. But they understand how hard it is to win. They understand how they grinded that out. How a guy like Trent Grisham was the hero. How a guy like Marcus Stroman was a steady enough hand. And then you turn it over to Tim Hill and Luke Weaver and Tommy Cainley and Clay Holmes, and the bullpen holds. The bullpen doesn't fail. It's a team win. Volpe with a knock. Gleyber with a knock. Soto with two knocks. A stolen base. Judgey with a knock. Like, it's a team win, and it feels good to win, man. It feels good to win. And when you look at the standings, both teams, Mets and Yankees, had help tonight. When you look at the standings, it's promising. It allows you to dream. It allows you to feel like you have a season. And as much as Yankee fans are down in the dumps about, this is the same old thing, we're just going to get bounced in the second round, first round, not win the World Series, you don't know that. So if you want to get off the roller coaster on July 9th, 10th, or any time before that, goodbye. But when they have a parade, you're going to show up. And same thing with the Mets fans, right? If you wanted to get off the roller coaster on June 1st, goodbye. But you know, it doesn't work like that. You can say things about your team. You can hate on the team, but you're a fan of the team. You're coming right back. Fair weather. You're coming right back when they win, because winning cures all. 888-808-1019. So when I'm looking at these standings, well, first let's look at the scores before we go back into the, you know, different topics from Jose Iglesias to Trent Grisham to Luis Severino and Marcus Stroman. You know, when I'm talking about the games yesterday, Wednesday, July 10th, you know, the Orioles got shut out by Shota Imanaga, and the Chicago Cubs, the Northsiders, go Cubs, go, man. They just took two games from them. That's the series. Needed that, right? Humble them a little bit. Knock them down a peg. They just pitched Corbin Burns tonight, and he lost. It's baseball, Susan. Anything can happen. It can change. That's why we get so excited for first pitch every day. I sat down tonight and I said, let me watch my favorite, least favorite TV program streaming on Amazon Prime. Watching the Yankees is my favorite thing to watch on TV. I'm not missing that appointment television. Even if they started at 6:50, I'm in my seat ready to go. And I say least favorite because it's my least favorite as of late, because I'm watching them lose. I'm watching them commit errors. I'm watching them run into stupid outs. But I can't forecast if that's going to happen tonight. They played clean tonight. They didn't make any mistakes tonight. They didn't have any blunders tonight. And you can't in a tight 2-1 game. But the Cubs go out and beat the Orioles. Good. And then when I'm looking at, you know, the teams that are around, and I mean, for Yankee fans, you should really only be looking at the Orioles, because now the Yankees are 2 games behind the Orioles, and it sets up this weekend series where, like, all of the negativity and everything we felt about them can change. It can literally change with this weekend, and then you have a week break with the All-Star where you can feel completely different and you put it in the past. That's what I'm hoping against hope. Hope week. So looking at our division and looking at the AL East, the Baltimore Orioles have dropped the last two, and every team under the Yankees in the AL East lost. They all have an L1. They all lost. Great. Now the Yankees got to make it W2 tomorrow and then make it W3. And I'm not asking you to go to Camden Yards and sweep the Baltimore Orioles, but take 2 out of 3, man. They've owned you all year. They've owned you all year. I would love for you to take all three. I mean, I think they've already, I think if they win one more game, they take the season series. I got to double check those numbers. I mean, it might not matter. But, I mean, it might not matter if you just have a better record than them and there is no tiebreaker scenario. So, good night for the Yankees to get a win and then the rest of the division literally lose. And then when you look at the Mets and you look at the wild card, like if you're a Met fan today, to look at the wild card standings when it was a joke, when you were 11 games under 500, like it was literally a joke to look at the wild card and imagine this. When you look at the wild card right now, the Mets could win tomorrow and be in it. And the teams that are sitting ahead of you in the wild card, the Braves lost tonight. The St. Louis Cardinals lost the last two. The San Diego Padres are in a 4-game losing streak. LFGM. Let's go Yankee Mets. I haven't dropped a Let's Go Yankee Mets on y'all in a while. LGYM. That's what it should be. I saw Keith Hernandez doesn't want y'all saying that. I think I saw Alyssa Rose asked if they're going to change the OMG to OMFG. And then Howie Rose was like, no, who raised you? That was a good little back and forth on Twitter. If you caught that, I know a lot of you guys are never on Twitter, but a lot of us are. It's the only place we can really connect. You know, radio heads, this is over the airwaves, and then digitally we're online there. But yeah, I think you just got to be happy with the fact that, you know, you can lose a bunch of games in the beginning of the season and you can get right if you're a Mets fan. They're 1 game over 500. They're 46-45. And going into the All-Star break, you can say we are a postseason team. If the season ended today, we are a postseason team. They can be in that spot. And I think that's going to command respect of whoever is making the decisions on the All-Star team, because that, hey, why can't Lindor and Nimmo fill in for two reserves for two guys that are hurt? Mookie Betts and Francisco Lindor. If the San Diego Padres drop out of it, the Mets are in their spot. Hey, put the guys in that are in the postseason if it ended today. And for the Yankee fan, okay, they just had a terrible stretch. They're still in this terrible stretch, but they're 56-38. They have one of the best records in baseball. There's not that many teams with more wins than them. You know, if they can put a little bit of a win streak together and put the past behind them, they can go into the All-Star break being one of the top three teams in baseball. The Guardians have 57 wins. The Baltimore Orioles have 57 wins. The Philadelphia Phillies, congratulations, they're the first team to 60 wins. But other than that, your Yankees are still up there despite the terrible stretch of baseball. So winning cures all, man. It allows you to dream. It allows you to look at the full season and what's to come and not feel like you're out of it. And if you're a Yankee fan that thinks that they're stuck in this and this is forever, no, They have an all-star break to breathe and recalibrate, and then they literally have the deadline to add pieces, to shake up the room. And I loved hearing, I'm going to keep digging for some more stuff. I loved hearing that these guys partied like, you know, it was 1999 after a 2-1 win. Because I'm reading people online talking about, well, they almost blew that game. Oh, they could barely win. This lineup sucks. Man, these are pro ball players. They understand how hard it is to win in Major League Baseball, and they've been in a bad one. And that game was over two nights ago in the first inning because of Carlos Rodon. And Marcus Stroman did enough tonight, and the bullpen did enough tonight, and Trent Grisham did enough tonight for the Yankees to get a win. And for the Mets, the vibes are immaculate. I don't know if there's been a better stretch of better vibes for the Mets fans pulling up to Citi Field with a literal theme song, with Grimace puppets and stuffed animals, and a team that just hits hit after hit, play to hits. Like, all they do is hit. A lineup that hits and a bullpen that is rounding into form. Once that bullpen is right and you put that in your rearview mirror, this National League is not that tough. This National League is not that crazy. You have enough hitters where if you fix that bullpen, which they obviously are, and now you're going to a six-man rotation with Kodai Senga coming back, everything's coming up great for the Mets. And it can come up great for the Yankees, too. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Let's get back to the phones and go to your calls after we just kind of reset right there. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Let's go to Kenny out in Queens. What's up, Kenny? You got it.
Hey, what's up, brother?
Not too much.
Yeah, I was calling in because they were calling in. Last call was talking about Soto and Judge and how Soto being in front of him, you know, helps Judge. 2022, when Judge was on that tear, DJ LeMahieu, Josh Dallas is in front of him. I love Soto, but Judge is just that good. It doesn't matter who's in front of him, who's behind him. It doesn't matter. But
it helps a little bit. It just helps a little bit because they've been doing the side-by-side of, like, at this point in 2022, and Judge has more RBI. So the fact that he's got more ribbies is because Soto is working those walks and getting on. Like, how many times have we seen Soto get on and Judge hit a 2-run bomb? A few times already this year.
But it's not like it's a 50 RBI difference. It's like 9. So it's not that, you know, that much of a difference.
It's a lot. For a guy that won MVP that year, would he have 131 ribbies? I don't know. I'll say this. Like, it's not like I'm trying to give Soto the credit for Judge. But, I mean, it definitely makes a difference. And when Soto gets back to hitting the ball out of the park and having extra base hits, like, it's going to be tough. Like, they're pitching to Soto. They're pitching to Judge right now. We got to get back to them being feared, where they don't want to throw them anything to hit. Like, we're making Zach Eflin look like a ace. Like, we do that to – we make everybody look like an ace.
No, I agree. And just going to the trade deadline, he's got to approach different things. I love Volpe actually moving back to the lineup. I think he's better at, like, batting 6-7 than leadoff because he has pop. He can go the opposite way. He can pull if
he
wants to.
Man, I've been saying it for months. I was disappointed when they moved him to the leadoff spot. I'm glad that they didn't stay stuck on stupid and say, he's the leadoff hitter for the next 10 years. Good. Let that young man work on his game, work on his approach, and not have to lead off every day on top of being the Yankee shortstop.
And the good thing about him in the little, you know, he's in a little slump hitting. He's still great defensively, and that's all you really, you know, it's what you want to see. If he's, you know, if he's in a slump, all right, he's still playing great.
Yeah, as long as the slump doesn't carry over to him, you know, like Gleyber Torres, you'll see Gleyber Torres slump at the plate and then be out of it in the field. It's like, no, Volpe is he's locked in, and I think he'll be even more locked in lower in the lineup. Hopefully Verdugo can be the answer at the leadoff spot. I also don't think that Ben Rice is the answer as a young guy, too. It's too much pressure. Verdugo had a rough one last night, but I think he's got the most experience doing it. He could be the guy.
I love what they did with Ben Rice, though, because he's an aggressive hitter. And they're like, hey, you know what? Let's throw him at leadoff because he's aggressive. He takes what he gets. Let's go with
it. He handled it. He's balanced. He doesn't look overmatched. And even though he is a young guy at 25 in his, you know, first month of his rookie year, he took on the challenge. Maybe they go back to that. It depends on the pitching matchup. But I would rather see Verdugo there for a little while. But not for nothing. I mean, we got Verdugo as a cleanup hitter and a leadoff hitter. He's got to get going now. Like, not now, right now. Like, he needs to have one. This game tonight with Nestor on the mound, he needs to have a multi-hit game.
No, I agree. And also with the if you have, you know, I have another second. The I called in last year. We were talking about Glaber actually for like the same thing about 7-8 minutes. I love Glaber. He's my guy. He's just not there. He's just not there anymore. You could tell he's not happy.
He knows because he knows his Yankee time is up, man. And it's got to be unfortunate because he's spoken about wanting to be a Yankee for life. But that's all she wrote. And it could be over this month. They could trade him. He could get traded somewhere. And I hope so because I hope they could get anything for him versus going through the motions and letting him cost us a game in October and then he walks. I don't want to see that. I'd rather them trade him for a 17-year-old kid.
Oh, for sure. And then, you know, Grisham was great tonight, so it's hard to hate on him. But there's been the last probably 2 weeks, you got Grisham getting up and you have Cabrera on the bench. Just pinch him a Cabrera. The kid has spark. He was our best player for like 3 straight weeks in the beginning of the season. The kid is a good player. Just he doesn't have to start, but in big spots, let him play. He can hit.
I think we'll see him tomorrow. I think they're going to rest DJ LeMahieu. Thanks for the call, Kenny, or tonight. Also, like I love Oswaldo. I said he's clutch. He plays with a spark. He's added a flair to this team. But I think you guys overvalue him. You know what I'm saying? Like I always say the Yankees don't love him. They don't love him like that. They like him, but they don't love him like that. They don't love him like that to make him an everyday player at 25 years old, a guy that we didn't know which side of the plate he was going to hit from. He's good. Don't get me wrong. Like I don't think he's a bad player. He's versatile. Obviously, he can play multiple positions, but he's ultimately like a 200 hitter, and once in a while he can run into some pop and hit it out. But if it's him versus DJ LeMahieu, they're going to go with DJ LeMahieu, the back of the baseball card, the guy that they paid, the veteran that they paid, 10 years older than Oswaldo. But I think DJ's going to need the day off, especially because I know they're going to rely on DJ during the Orioles series. So I expect Oswaldo to be at third tomorrow and Rice to be at first base. But what the hell do I know? What do I know? They're going to do whatever the computer tells them to do. And if DJ says I'm all right, as he did today, not coming out of the game, then he's in the game. But I just think, like, you know, I always hear, play Oswaldo, play Oswaldo. I'm with that. Just for the fact that he's more athletic, just for the fact that he can run, like he can leg out a ground ball to first. On the base pass, he can score. He can go first to home, second to home when the ball's hit to the outfield. DJ can't. But they don't love him like that. They like him, but they don't love him like that. They're not going to put him in over a guy that they've seen do it, that's coming around, that they're already paying $15 million a year. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just not, that's not how the Yankees view it. And I don't know how many calls I've taken about, play Oswaldo, play Oswaldo. They look at Oswaldo as a bench guy. So much so, I keep citing the fact that they traded for John Birdie, right? Trade deadline. The first trade they made was before opening day. Let's get John Birdie in here. We don't trust Oswaldo. DJ fouled the ball off his foot. He's not ready to go. DJ's not ready to go. Oswaldo, we don't trust you like that. But Oswaldo in the beginning of the season was clutch. And I know so many of you are holding on to that. Clutch and spark and flair, all that's great, but that is not a statistic that comes up when they run their analytics. It's not. That's not something that comes, that's not a statistic. That's an eye test thing. You know, speaking of DJ being out, were you guys paying attention in Hard Knocks? In like the middle of Hard Knocks when Joe Shane was on the phone? And I keep watching this trying to figure out how much was for the cameras, how much is staged, how much are they trying to send a message. It's great. Even them showing Shane getting prepared for the meeting the media at the combine and them looking at like ESPN and like, you know, Greeny talking about Daniel Jones and Saquon. Like, this is what they're going to ask you. This is what everyone's talking about. This is what the media's going to ask you. And they had prepared, measured answers. But there was a part in Hard Knocks where Joe Shane is walking down a hallway and he's walking away and he says, you know, we have to protect ourselves. Daniel Jones, which made me think of DJ, Daniel Jones is coming back from an ACL. And he literally says in the show, we have to protect ourselves. We can't go 0-3 until he's ready to come back. And if you remember last season, and I'm still staying on this until I see differently. OTAs, we'll see. The workouts that we just saw, DJ can't do 11 on 11. They say he's progressing well, and we're going to see more of that in Hard Knocks, I'm sure. But it's clear that they brought in Drew Lock, and I told you guys this as soon as they signed Drew Lock. I don't know how many games, but you're going to see Drew Lock start a game. It would be crazy if Drew Lock is the week one starter. But when I was doing the math last year, the math wasn't mathing for Daniel Jones to be ready to play week one. It also wasn't, the math also wasn't mathing for Daniel Jones to be able to get the reps, the 11 on 11 reps in practice and be cleared for full contact. The timeline to me wasn't there. I used Kyler Murray's timeline. I said, I'd be surprised if he's cleared by September, not cleared by late July, August to be in practice where they're going to be flying around. You could put a red jersey on him. Somebody still could run into his leg. That's a huge risk, especially in a season where you drafted Malik Nabers 6 overall and you're looking at Daniel Jones through the lens of Hard Knocks where they're saying, you know, we didn't pay him $40 million to hand off the ball to a $20 million running back. We're paying a quarterback that much to be the guy throwing the ball around, distributing the pill. We got him some weapons. Let's bring some Giants fans into the conversation. 888-808-1019. I was talking to Fleegs and C-Mac on my way out last night. I was like, yo, I can't wait to go home and watch Hard Knocks. I couldn't wait to see Daboll with Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, three quarterbacks he had no shot at getting. But he got to meet them. He got to quiz them. He got to see them on the whiteboard. He got to talk football with them. Personnel, formations, play calls. I love that stuff, man. I'm like, I miss that stuff. I'm not as sharp as I was. I'm looking at them. I'm like, man, I got to get back into the lab. You know what? I don't play video games. I'm like, Madden would have me still sharp on plays and coverages. That stuff is great. I see so many people listen to, you know, the clip of Daboll talking football, which not even talking football. He's specifically just calling out regular stuff, offensive stuff, play calls. And people are like, wow, like they're amazed by that. And I'm like, if you played football in any level past, even high schoolers, like that is regular jargon, vernacular. That is regular stuff you need to know. Like when he said tundra, and that was, you know, the abbreviated version of two unders, talking about the two under routes, talking to Drake May, you know, asking these guys what play to run. I'm like, man, I love football. I love football. As much as I love the Yankees, I also love football, man. I can't wait for football to start. But it's baseball time. Let's continue to talk about the Yankees. I just wanted to sprinkle a little bit of that Giants Hard Knock stuff in. I don't know if you guys saw Saquon. We'll talk about that in a minute. But my guy Mario out in Long Beach been holding for a minute. Surprise, Jamario.
Hey, what's going on, Keith? How you doing?
I'm all right.
Good show, as always.
Thanks.
I was going to talk about the Yankees, but now you got me thinking about the Giants, so I'll go on
both.
Them a little
we
bit.
We can talk know? About both. This is the Fan in New York.
Oh, man, of course, man. Good show, as always. You know the thing with Daniel Jones is that there's another little caveat here. I believe, I don't know if you're aware of this, but I believe if by the sixth or seventh game, if he gets injured,
yep,
and he's unable to play the following year, he gets his full salary the following year.
Yeah, that's a clause in his contract. Players first or whatever his team is that he went to get. They're smart for putting that in there. I think they're the same people that represent Russell Wilson. And that's why we saw Sean Payton and the Broncos tell Russell Wilson, we're going to bench you.
My question is, would you play him? Would you play him after the sixth game? Would you take that chance? Or would you say, oh, you know what, we're going to move forward, especially if he's not playing great, you know?
We'll find out on Hard Knocks in season with the New York Giants.
And since you were a quarterback, let me ask you this question. Who do you think is better, Drew Lock or the backup they had last year that's on the Jets? What's his name? Tyrod Taylor.
Oof. I think Tyrod Taylor's a better quarterback than Drew Lock. I thought you were going to ask me if Drew Lock was better than Tommy DeVito. I was going to say also Drew Lock is better than Tommy DeVito, but I don't think Drew Lock is better than Tyrod Taylor. Tyrod Taylor's been a starter in this league. He's a veteran in this league.
I feel the same way. Yeah.
I mean, Tyrod, we saw him last year. His ability to throw the ball downfield and also to just be unfazed. He's undersized, but it doesn't matter. He's able to see the field. He's able to make big plays. And when he's protected, he's been around long enough. I met Tyrod years ago. He's a legend coming out of Hampton, Virginia. And, I think he's underrated. I think you're going to see him start a game, too.
A little injury prone, though. He's had a lot of injuries in his career.
Because he's small.
But you're going to see him start a game for the Jets. I don't know if you saw that video of the Jets fan crying on the golf course saying, Aaron Rodgers, I just need a Super Bowl. I'm like, whoa, what is going on? People still think Aaron Rodgers is a savior.
Well, you know what? I think if they had Tyrod Taylor last year starting, they would have made the playoffs. Because they won seven games with the worst quarterbacking in the league.
If the Jets had Tyrod Taylor instead of Zach Wilson and Tim Boyle, hell yeah.
Yeah, don't you think so?
Of course.
Now, quickly, in terms of the Yankees, I think that the big reason here of everything is the pitching. The pitching is in a bad slump. I was reading that the ERA is like, over in this slump, is like 6.9, and it was 3 for the whole year. So that means they're giving up almost 4 runs more a game.
Oh, yeah.
If they kept their ERA at 3, all of these problems on the offense, we wouldn't be talking about it because they'd have so many more wins. You know? You agree?
When Gerrit Cole came back, it was like, thanks for the call, Mary. I'm like, when Gerrit Cole came back, it was like the substitute teacher was there for a little while and everybody behaved, but the regular teacher comes back and now everybody's acting up again. I didn't know how else to equate it, but I'm like, we were all so pumped to add Gerrit Cole, right? We lose Clark Schmidt. We're not worried about a six-man rotation. We're going to talk about the Mets six-man rotation in a minute. I'm putting a pen in my notes to go back to that. But when Gerrit Cole returned, we were all excited, like, all right, we got Cole back. Not really thinking about, like, you're not getting ace Cy Young Gerrit Cole right away. He's building up. And the reason that we got Cole back faster than expected was because Cody Poteet went on the IO. And Cody Poteet was serviceable. That's why when people were saying, oh, it's the bullpen. Oh, it's the lineup. No, it's the bullpen, it's the lineup, and the rotation. It's all three facets. And when you look at the Yankees' rotation, Luis Gil was an all-star. Carlos Rodon was an all-star for the first 2 months, and then that evaporated. Even Stroman, you know, they all were playing over their heads. Clark Schmidt got hurt. And Nestor Cortez was here and there, but like for the most part, we were bragging about how all the starters were going 4 innings and how low their ERA was and how they had the lowest ERA in baseball. That disappeared. And that's baseball. It's not going to hold the whole year. It's not going to hold the whole year. But when you combine that with a slumping lineup, when you combine that with now you don't have Giancarlo Stanton batting 5th, when you combine that with now you don't have Anthony Rizzo batting 6th, when you combine that with, okay, now Volpe's in a bad one as your leadoff hitter, Verdugo had his homecoming to Boston and disappeared, Judge tried to carry the team, but Soto started slumping, and you're getting nothing out of the bottom of the order with Trevino, Wells, Grisham, Cabrera, DJ LeMahieu. All of that combined with guys like Caleb Ferguson blowing it, Tim Hill blowing it, not being able to trust the bullpen, you're going to lose. You're going to lose games. But like they're rounding into shape. I think they can get there. Carlos Rodon, I won't say him. But I feel confident in what Nestor can do down in Tampa. And Nestor's better at home, but Tampa is a home away from home for the Yankees. I feel confident in what Nestor can do against Tampa tonight to stabilize things and not just, you know, give it up completely. And this lineup better get active. Judge is way overdue. Soto, way overdue. And with the rubber match and with this feeling of like, hey, it's a must-win game again. The Yankees have already had 10 must-win games. They better rock Shane Boz. They better get active. They better get active tonight. And my hope is that the Cubs sweep the Orioles and they go into Camden Yards riding high with another celebration on the way out, a happy flight, playing, you know, future of Metro Boomin. And they realize, hey, we've got 3 against the Baltimore Orioles where we got to take 2 out of 3. We take back-to-back series going into the All-Star break, and our whole fan base feels better about things. 888-808-1019. When we come back, we'll talk about the Mets rotation, and we'll talk about the Mets bullpen having a great performance last night, and that rounding into form with some additions, and with some guys that should not be seen again, and obviously some natural subtractions because of injuries. And this Mets lineup, which is incredible. It's one of the best lineups in baseball. Multiple hits every night, multiple runs every night, like a relentless lineup that you can count on early in the game and late. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Call the show. We've got 90 minutes to go. I'll be right back.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Here's Aaron Boone to lead off. His first at bat of the game. There's a fly ball deep to left. It's on its way. There it goes. And the Yankees are going to the World Series.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Hey, yo, it's me, KM to 2 a.m., Keith McPherson on The Fan. Let's get right back into it. Thanks for rocking. Thanks for holding. I see people online that are like, yo, I got to be up in the morning. I'm staying up to listen to you, though. Go to bed. I appreciate it. Like, I really do. I don't know how many times I've said on this microphone, there's not one human being I'm staying up to listen to. Like, I used to work corporate in New York City, have to be up 5, 6 in the morning, work out, get on the bus. I used to take a bus 2 hours from the Jersey Shore to Port Authority and then walk to work at MTV in Times Square. There was nobody I was staying up to listen to. There was no TV show I was staying up to listen to because the regret that I would have the next day, and this was before I started drinking coffee too, the regret that I would have the next day just being tired. That feeling, like, once you get through the like, morning, like, nah. Or, like, even being on the bus, not being able to catch Z's. Like, if you can't sleep on the bus those 2 hours because somebody's loud or the traffic or I don't know. Man, I appreciate y'all. Like, I can't tell you how much I appreciate my WFAM. Like, so many of you are just solid. Like, I can't. One day, maybe when I'm older, I'll figure out a time to just screenshot so many, like, emails and LinkedIn messages and, you know, things over the last 3 years that people have written to me that just, like, touch me in a way where I'm like, wow, you don't know who you reach on the radio. There's three people in here right now tonight. So it's quiet. It's crickets. It's not like the daytime where there's salespeople and, you know, all the other shows kind of overlap, like, C-Mac will probably be here in 20 minutes or so, but you just kind of forget how many people are listening, and I just always got to take the time to say I rock with y'all. Like, I appreciate y'all, and I appreciate the people that don't call. I obviously appreciate the people that are on social media, but yeah, when I see you say you're losing sleep because you're enjoying my show, like, why you got to be so good at the radio, Keith? Like, I can't go to sleep. I got to be up at 6 a.m. My message to you is go to bed. Fleegs is going to put this on podcast, like Rascona put this on podcast. Every hour goes to the podcast. And if you're listening on the Odyssey app, the app gives you the ability to rewind. Like right now, if you're not into my show, you can go back and listen to BT and Sal. If you're not into my show, you can go back and listen to Tiki and Tierney. Or Tiki and Tierney. Evan and Tiki. 888-808-1019. Let's get back into the show. I said I wanted to talk about Kodai Senga. There was a part of the early season where I'm like, oh, this is not honorable for the Ghost Fork. Kodai Senga does not want to pitch with this Mets team. this is not what Kodai Senga signed up for as we're approaching the All-Star break. And Kodai Senga, I think, was the lone Mets All-Star last year. Pete Alonso obviously was there. Kodai Senga is on the way back. And David Stern says that they expect this to be a six-man rotation. That's great. That's a good thing. And, you know, I put a pin in that because I remember all the talk about six-man rotation with the Yankees. And there was fear that we couldn't do that because that would upset a Carlos Rodon type, right? I can't do that. You know, that would upset a Marcus Stroman, who Yankee fans were upset that Marcus Stroman didn't want to take the ball opening day because he already was set to his routine. But I think it's great that you're going to get a guy that was an all-star that was projected to be your ace going into this year back at a time when you really could use him. You didn't need him when you were losing all those games. Now, as you're getting your bullpen together and Jose Quintana is giving you length, Luis Severino is doing the job. Sean Manaea has had some good appearances. Christian Scott is back. You don't have to watch Tyler McGill. David Peterson is still going to be here, but like you get Kodai Senga back, and it's like, yo, now, as we're talking about all three facets with the Yankees, the lineup you don't have to worry about. You don't have to worry about the lineup now. You figured out the lineup construction with Lindor leading off. You figured it out with J.D. Martinez, Pete Alonso, like these guys being in there with Mark Vientos, Jose Iglesias in the bottom of the order, Harrison Bader down there, Brandon Nimmo, don't let me forget about Nimmo. The rotation, getting a Kodai Senga back and a six-man rotation, I don't think that's going to mess up things for you guys. I think that's only going to make you stronger and help your bullpen, as your bullpen is going to have Phil Maton come in here, and they're going to rely on him, and you already feel good about Daniel Nunez. You feel good about Edwin Diaz. Reed Garrett is on the IL, but he'll be back at some point. You'll get some other guys back. I think you are looking at a Mets team that is rounding into form at the right time and coming back from the All-Star break, which they could be in a wild card spot at the All-Star break, getting Kodai Senga back. I don't know exactly when Starling Marte is coming back, but those couple weeks right after the All-Star break, heading into the trade deadline, I mean, that's everything for you. So 888-808-1019. Yankee fans, hold on for a second. Let me bring in some of these Mets fans to continue the conversation and make sure that we're fair and we talk about both teams. Ross is in Bergen County. What's up, Ross? You're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. How you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Not bad. So, listen, saw when tonight, didn't really have an issue with the bullpen. How about Jose Buto kind of, you know, putting him on the list, the more credible arms? I know with Diaz had the one-out save yesterday, which was unnecessary as hell. You see Garrett go in the IL, you know, finally. But, you know, you look at Buto now kind of going under. You just brought up six-man rotation, was kind of locked down on that role for a while. So if they finally, you know, make the move, throw him in as another bullpen option, I mean, you know, who knows? Maybe, you know, worked out tonight. And listen, man, Lindor and Nimmo, ever since they swapped them in the order, they've been paying beyond dividends. It's unbelievable what those two have been doing. And, you know, we can't say enough how those two have been snubbed from the All-Star game.
Yeah, but hopefully they right that wrong. And, yeah, you need options. The reason the Mets were failing is because the bullpen was defaulting into, well, we got to pitch this guy. And their bullpen budget and their plan was weak. You were defaulting into having to throw certain guys that you knew couldn't hold. Like, there's going to come a time where you don't have to go to Adam Ottavino.
I mean, listen, they brought in Maton. I know his ERA was up to like 5 in the balloon this year. He wasn't bad for Houston and Cleveland a couple years prior to that. So, I mean, at this point, honestly, I wouldn't even mind. I'm so desperate to the point where, hell, bring Michael Givens all the way back, run it back with him. But, you know, just in general, as long as they get arms in general, dude, anybody. Because, dude, we see Jake Diefen going to the game. We're all holding our breath. It's unbelievable. He got through it, you know, unscathed. So, I mean, that's kind of, you know, obviously Rayleigh and Drew Smith, you know, you can say what you want about Drew Smith's production, but just not having that arm, you know, at the end of the day, it's handicapping them. And, you know, the fact that they're treading water right now, they got one more. And honestly, you know, going into most series, you think 2 out of 3, 3 out of 4, there's no reason for them to not sweep Colorado going into the break. So the fact that they took the first two against Washington, if they could go 5-1 before the break, that's a really good sign. You compare it, they just had the scare in PNC. Remember a couple years ago what the All-Star game sandwiched in between the two trips to Pittsburgh, or the trip to Pittsburgh and then the homestead against the Pirates, what that did to their 21 season, completely derailed it. So if they could, you know, go into the All-Star game 5-1, it leaves a good taste in their mouth. And, hey, man, you brought up, you know, Betts, Tatis, I don't think they have a replacement for either one yet, so. We see Lindor, Nimmo, maybe the both of them in Arlington. You know, that's good, man. Get some more representation down in Texas.
Yeah, I think it makes sense. Thanks for the call, Ross. I was saying earlier, they want to put all the Padres in there. And right now, the Padres are on a 4-game losing streak. The Mets are on their heels for that last wild card spot. Beat the Nationals, sweep the Colorado Rockies. It would make perfect sense for Major League Baseball to say, hey, let's put these two reserves in from a team that currently is in a postseason spot if the season ended today. 888-808-1019. You don't want to see Eric Orsi. He's out of here. You really don't care to see Adrian Hauser. You don't care to see Adam Ottavino. And I think they're getting to a point where they're going to have a six-man rotation, guys that can give you length, and they're going to have more designated roles for the guys that they trust that are in your circle of trust as Mets fans in this bullpen. I think the days of fearing the bullpen can be over sooner rather than later, and it's starting to round into form. And who would have thought? Who would have thought? I mean, obviously, guys have been DFA'd. Guys have hit the IL.
Sean Reed Foley, Drew Smith, Reed Garrett. So what? I talk about the Yankees bullpen, and my phrase for the Yankees bullpen was, this bullpen is fluid, evolving, and ever-changing. And now it seems like we're kind of getting some stability. We kind of know, you know, who they're going to go to and who's coming out of the bullpen. Like, the days of Dennis Santana are done. You know, some of these other characters are gone. So it's just how it works in Major League Baseball. Nobody has just a lights-out solid bullpen for the whole year. And nobody can just bring their best guys out of the bullpen because you got to manage their workload. So 888-808-1019. JD is in the Lower East Side. What's up, JD? You're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, how you doing?
Good, good. Thanks for calling.
Listen, it's an honor to speak with you because, you know, as a new fan, like I got to say that you, first of all, your relatability and your charisma is going to take you far. You know, as an old fan, like before you, my favorite was Joe Beningo, ironically. You know, way back, he got me through some tough times, you know, and overnights. And now I'm a big fan, so praise.
Thanks, dude. Shout out to Joe B. I'm a fan of his as well. I used to listen to Joe and Evan drive and Lyft Uber, like, consistently. I only met Joe B one time, but I really want to pull up on his live podcast that he does at the Hackensack Brewery.
I've heard of that, yes. And he put me up on Umberto's, and I've been a fan ever since. Umberto's, yes. So getting to my point, as far as Alonso, okay, I've heard a lot of talk, and I'm a big fan of, huge fan, a long-suffering Mets fan, since I can remember. And my thing about Alonso, you know, getting chosen for the All-Star team game is that, you know, people say that, you know, baseball doesn't get it and they don't know how to market. You know, they don't know how to market and you know, like the NFL. And there's so many holes in their marketing strategies. And, you know, putting Alonso in there is smart because actually people that don't even know about the Mets, they recognize Alonso, yep, as an all-star, man. And, you know, you want your big all-star dude in there, and he lives for that, and he strives.
Who he is. I've been in the all-star game, and every year Pete Alonso is campaigning for the Mets at the all-star game, talking to other players. When he's interviewed, he's telling them how great it is to play in New York, specifically Queens, and he is one of the faces of the Home Run Derby. He's a two-time winner. I know he might not have the numbers, but he does have the pedigree. He's Pete Alonso.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And that was it. So, again, an honor to speak with you, and I will be calling again. And I tell people about you because, like I said, it's like talking to my brother, my cousin, my homeboys. I feel like I speak to you. So I appreciate that, and God bless.
JD, appreciate you, bro. Thank you so much.
God bless. Bye-bye.
You guys know the number to dial. We're talking about the Mets. We're talking about how things have just turned around for them. Some of you still can't believe it. Some people want to say it's not real. No, it's real. I remember asking the question again, what's more tangible, the Yankee struggles or the Mets success? And I asked that going into the Subway Series. And now it's been a couple weeks since the Subway Series, and the Mets are still rolling. And when you look at the standings and you look at what they've done, yeah, okay, as I said, even like they split on the road trip. So what? They split. They didn't lose. And you need a little help from the teams around you. And I look at Mendoza in his first year as manager. The guy's doing a good job. Some of you might be mad about Christian Scott coming out of the game, whatever. Hopefully you already forgot about that. They have a plan. Like, they're playing for October. You might not actually believe that, but they are playing and making moves to have a team that can compete in October, a wild card team. The division, I mean, obviously with the Phillies winning 60 games, it seems like that's far-fetched, but yeah. If you're a Mets fan that didn't quit on your team, good for you, because now everything's turning up roses and you can kind of beat your chest a little bit and be like, see, I told you so. Let's go to Alex in Linden, New Jersey. Alex, you're on the Fan. What up, bro?
Hey, what's up, man? How's it going? I had you on Odyssey app, and I didn't realize like how it doesn't track live. So I'm like, yeah, I don't have time to call in tonight. It's midnight, and then boom, 2 a.m. I'm like, hell yeah! So appreciate you being on late, man.
Yeah, got it.
Yo, so you brought up Daniel Jones. I was going to talk about the Home Run Derby, but that, now Daniel Jones.
You can do both. You can do
both. All right, so I went to the 2008 Home Run Derby, so you got me pretty jacked up saying that that was your favorite part, because having tickets back in Section 39, I had the pre-sale, so I got the Futures game, the Home Run Derby, the All-Star game, and the Home Run Derby, that was the Josh Hamilton year, so, I mean, that nothing tops that.
Yeah, I watched it on TV. I wish I could have went. I was just far away and broke. There was no chance.
Yeah, that was my... That was my turning like 21, 22 years where I'm, you know, out of college and have a real job. So I had that expendable cash for the first time. So that was a fun year, I'm not going to lie. But yeah, man. So then, no, then you brought up Daniel Jones, and I'm about to watch episode 2 in a little bit here to fall asleep to or whatever. Maybe just watch the beginning. I don't think he's starting week one either. I think Drew Lock definitely starts the season, actually. You were saying you'd be surprised. I think you're right, though. You know football. You know his injury is not that great. You know he's already full of injuries. I think Drew Lock beats the Vikings week one. And I'll hang up and listen. Let's go Yanks, man. Let's get on a roll here.
Thanks for the call, Alex. Before we go to break, yeah, just like do the math for yourself. This guy has had serious injuries the last few years. He's one hit away from another season ender. That ACL, man, that is like, I know people that have had the rehab from that ACL. Injuries make a coward of all of us, especially on the football field. I can't imagine playing in the NFL. I played a little bit in college, and that was, like, ridiculous. I can't imagine playing in the NFL, especially now with these guys in the NFL that are monsters. They're big, they're fast, they're strong, and Daniel Jones... What was the best part of his game in the year that got him paid? The fact that he would take off and run, that he could run the ball into the end zone, that he could run for a first down. He held on to the ball too long. A lot of times he wasn't recognizing defenses. He wasn't recognizing blitzes. You can't say his passing ability was his best. It was like the dual threat ability is what got him through. I don't see him being that guy. Not with an ACL and a neck injury last year. So like the writing is on the wall, Giants fans. Your GM is literally telling you, we have to protect ourselves. That's why they were trying to get quarterbacks. And myself and C-Mac, for weeks at a time during last football season, were saying, tank, Gervonta, tank Davis, tank Dell, tank Biggs, tank for the future of your franchise. 888-808-1019, 1 hour left, KM to 2 a.m. returns right after this.